Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter in the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah and Laws of Slaves in the Sefer Kinyan Book of Acquisitions, where we continue the theme of the previous parak and discuss the laws of the Eved Kanani, that of the non-Jewish slave. We're in this parak discuss regarding a complete freedom, as we were talking about in the previous parak regarding the shichur, the freeing of the slave, or halfway freeing. As Rambam gets a halacha regarding, it has to be a complete emancipation from the master. So get shichur, the document of emancipation, Tzorch Shiyeh and Yonah, it has to be something that's a Dovah HaKoyros, it must be something that severs between him and his master, and that the master does not retain any vestige of rights in him. Someone writes to the slave as follows. It says, and all my estate, all my assets, are acquired to you, except for that place, except for that cloak, that jacket. In the curse, it's not totally severing, because it's still something that he's leaving over the master. And therefore the document is invalid. Now, since it's not a get, so the slave is not freed, and then he's not acquiring from the estate anything because he's still an Eved. And anything that's similar like that has the same halacha. Halacha base. Eved shevi get. If let's say a slave brings a divorce document, and it says on it, you and my estate is all acquired to you, my slave. So he acquires himself, because an Eved that brings his get is believed to say before Nechem and he does not have to validate like we said in the previous parag, but he becomes an Eved, is a free person. But his estate he has not acquired, that she's going to get until he validates the document with its signatures, kashar shas, like all other documents. It's only for his freedom, but regarding, although it's put into the same document, for those halachas, you don't have the belief of the Eved. It says in it, kol nechasa k'nuin lach. It's just, that's the words that it says. All my estate is acquired to you. So, which includes everything, including the Eved. So, but Kana Asmi acquires himself, but the Kana Chasa does not acquire the estate, until you validate the document with its signatures. Where that's the novelty in this idea. Shechulkim HaDibur V'Imrim, it's called Palkin Diburi. We split the words and we say, although it's an all-inclusive statement, but we're splitting it apart. We say, Atzmei Kon himself, he acquired Mishra Nem and Lahavi Get Shechur Rubin Zoch Likaimai. Because he's believed to bring his document of emancipation, does not have to validate it. So on that he's believed. I'm the Chosim, but regarding the rest of the state, She'inon Kon Noisim El Beroya Beruda, where a person does not acquire them unless with a clear proof, Le'ik Noisim HaShem HaShtar, does not acquire them until he validates the document. Halacha Gimel continues regarding freeing two slaves in one document. Hamashach Rishnei Abad Mishtar Echad, if someone frees two slaves in one document, Le'kon Atzmam, they didn't acquire themselves. Rather, you have to write a document for each and every one individually, just like we say by the Get Isha. Here also, we compare the laws of the Get Shechur, the same thing also. Therefore, if someone writes his whole estate to two slaves in one document, they didn't even acquire themselves, because we said you can't do a Get Shechur of two in one document. Now, Vim Kosov Bishneshtar, now if he writes in two different documents, okay, then Kanu, then they acquire the whole estate, and they free each other. Now, when we say that it's going to work, is Bishakasa B'kol Shtar Mishneim, where if the master wrote in each one of the documents that he gave to each one of them, he wrote the words, Kol Nechasin Nesum L'Ploni L'Ploni Abdi, oh, my whole estate is given to such and such, these two of my slaves, so they're each getting the whole thing, and it's in two different documents, so they'll get the Shechur. But let's say he wrote Chatzin Nechasin L'Ploni Abdi. He says, okay, half my estate is to this person, my slave, and the other document says, V'chatzin Nechasin L'Ploni Abdi, and the other half is to that person, my slave, then af b'shnei shtaris l'kanakum. And even if it's done in two different documents, they didn't acquire anything. Why? Because she'evin mechal nechasin, the slave is included in the estate of the master. Now, v'hari shir b'chetzi, he has left over from half of his nechasin, from each and every one, in each and every document. So the inza shechur, that's not emancipation, because like we said, you can't leave over anything, it has to be complete severance. And since it wasn't freed, so like come, l'chasam klum. Again, then each one hasn't acquired from the state anything at all. Halacha Dal continues on this theme of freeing half of the slave. So meshachar chatzi avdi b'shtav. Someone frees half of his slave in a document. The slave does not acquire his half, but again, he's a slave as he was. But if let's say he frees half of him with money, where he takes half of the value of the slave, on the condition that he's going to free half the slave, then the slave acquires, now it turns out he's a half slave and half free person. But when did we say this? If he emancipates half of him in the document, this is when we said it's not going to work, and he leaves over the other half. That's not going to work in contrast to money. But let's say he freed half and he sold the other half. Or let's say he freed half and gives the other half as a gift to someone else. Since the slave is leaving totally from that person's domain, although he's not freeing the whole thing, but from that original master, he's leaving entirely from his domain either because he sold or gifted the other half. Then the slave does acquire his half. And so again, here also, like in the case of money, he will be half slave and half a free person. And the same thing applies to a slave that's owned by two different partners. And one of the masters frees his portion, whether with money or with document. Again, because that master is giving up his whole share, so it's totally leaving from his domain, although it's only half. Then so the slave does acquire his half. And therefore now he has halachic status as half slave, half free person. Halacha hey. Now, regarding this halacha, hakoisel l'shev chasim ubedes. So if someone writes to his pregnant maidservant, hade'at bas chayden. Now, you're free, but of lodech eved, but your slave is going to be a slave. So the Vav Krim, his words are valid, because the mother's not half of the, not part of the fetus, so the fetus will remain a slave as it is, but she'll go free. In contrast, hade'at shivcha ublodech ben chayden, but if he tells her, you are a maidservant, but your child is free, which, this is concept of ubeyer chimoy, really the fetus is like half of, or part of the mother, so lo em v'lekum, he hasn't said anything, shezek kimishim shachetz, it's like freeing half of her, which the fetus is a part of her, secondary to her, it's like freeing that part of her, that can't work, it's like chatzi evid, which again does not work, if not for the case, like by money. Halach above, shivcha charufa, which is a unique halacha, as Rambam says in Hilchas Ishes, of a woman that's half maidservant, half free woman, that's engaged to an Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave, that can be with a Jewish woman and can be with a the maidservant. So he's engaged to that half slave woman, half free woman. So if the master wants to free the remaining half that's still slave, and then she becomes a full-fledged married woman to her first husband, that is the Jewish slave that's engaged to her. So here the master could free her because you're not leaving over anything regarding to be emancipated because there's only half of her that's still a slave. And therefore that could work whether with money or with a document. And really here the chiddush is in the money because also money could conclude her emancipation. Al-Ghazan continues on this theme of chatzi eved v'chatzi b'chayrin. Someone's half slave, half free person. So since he's not permitted not to marry a shivcha because half of him is free, and he's not permitted a free Jewish woman because half of him is a slave, so they force his master to make him and free the other half to make him into a free person. And but since he really has ownership in that, so we write a document of debt for half of his value that now the slave owes that to the master who was forced to free the other half of the slave. Now, but bedroom, when do we say this? Be'eved by a slave, by a male. Because a man is commanded on being fruitful, multiplying, having children, and he can't because of this limbo that he's in. But the maidservant, she remains as she is, half slave, half free woman. So she serves her master one day, and she serves herself one day. But if the sinners are treating her in a ownerless type of a way because she's not married to anyone, so there's no husband to help her out and take care of her, then we force her master to free her, then we write in her a document for half her monetary value, and then she owes that to her master. Someone's half slave, half free person. So the master did some subterfuge. He went and he acquired his half that he still owns in the slave to his minor son. Why would he do that? He said, so that the courts don't force him to free the slave because a minor does not have the ability now to emancipate. So he writes it over to his minor son so that he could retain ownership in the slave. So actually what we do is mamidim bezn lekotna betrapas. The courts actually appoint for the minor a caretaker. And the caretaker who has das, who has intelligence, he writes them a document of emancipation for the remaining half. And they write for him a document of a debt that's owed for the half of his value, which is now placed on the slave to free himself. Now, if the child still needed the slave, and he has these major yearnings for the slave, and he doesn't want to free him, so what we do is we impress upon him by waving money in front of him, because a child loves money, and therefore he's going to be in agreement to freeing the slave, even though he's so much in love with the slave, but you flash some money in front of him, and then he'll be in agreement. Halacha concludes regarding that there's no backing out from freeing the slave. Shchiv Mira, a dying person, Shekasav Kol Nechasav La'Avdoi, that he writes his whole estate to his slaves. V'amen, and he survives. So generally, whatever Shchiv Mira does is only with the intention of he's going to die. If he doesn't die, he ends up taking back everything that he wrote off. In this case, yes, Chayzav Nechasav will be able to take back his whole estate. But V'ein Chayzav Rebbe cannot back out from the freeing of the slave. Shadi Yotza Lov Shem Mechayim, because the word has already gotten out from what the Shchiv Mira had already written, that this slave is a free person. And therefore, even now that he survives, that still prevents him from now coming back and being a slave again.